Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come together as a family, to fellowship, and to study your word. We are so grateful, Lord, that we have this building to meet in, to study your word, and to just hang out with each other, get to know each other more. I pray, Lord, that we would truly love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we would love each other the way we should, the way we are supposed to. Help us, Lord, if we need to improve in that area. Help us to reach out to people that we don't know as well and make an effort to love and serve them and get to know them. I pray that as we study your word tonight, that it would accomplish exactly what it is supposed to accomplish in our lives, and it would do its perfect work in all of our lives here tonight. We ask, Lord, that it convict us, change us, mold us, and cause us to be more like your Son, Jesus. Father, tonight we pray for Anna Giselle as she's home feeling sick, Lord. We ask for healing in her body, Lord, to be your will. Let her know that she was missed and that we love her dearly. And for the rest who are not here tonight, wherever they might be, Lord, just we miss them. And that we, anytime anyone misses, we miss them because we love each other so much that every time someone misses, they are greatly missed. And that's the way it should be. That's how great love we should have for each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so everyone open up to Jude. Who wants to read through it? Okay, I'll take a couple people. You guys read all the time, so I'll pick a couple of them.
Brad, one.
Oh. Okay. Kylie. You read 1 through 5. Emma, 6 to 10. Rebecca, 11 through 15.
Pick one guy. Pick one guy.
He wasn't here on Sunday. Hey, the girls.
You mean last time?
Harrison, 16 through 18. Okay, everyone else, follow along and pay attention.
Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God, the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Meanwhile, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt it necessary to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed to those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now that I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who do not believe.
And angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them and similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Of likewise, also these of dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, speak evil of these words. Yet Michael the archangel, contending with the devil, when he stood about the body of Moses, of Moses dared not bring against them a reviling accusation, but said the Lord would be with
them.
Let these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like fruit juice, and these things they corrupt themselves.
Woe unto them, for they have gone on the way of sin, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feet for charity, when they see fruit to you, feeding themselves without either clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit ran without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own chains, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied to me, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them.
These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts.
Okay, so Jude continues now. Jude now turns from a series of illustrations and word pictures that we read in the Old Testament, prophecies, to remind his readers of a much more contemporary voice. They are urged not only to recall what the inspired writers of the Old Testament wrote down and foretold of, but to remember that in their own day, the apostles, and our Lord Jesus Christ warned about apostates and false teachers that would be coming, and weren't even there. The constantly needed admonition to remember is frequently repeated in the scriptures, and we're going to look at some of those scriptures tonight of the apostles warning the church about false teachers, about apostates, about those who turn away from God and want to deceive people. So we look here in verse 17, it says, "But you, beloved," okay? So he's making a little transition here. He's given the word pictures in 12 through 13. He talks about Enoch and Adam in 14. 15, he talks about that, hey, Christ is coming back to execute judgment at all. And he talks about how these apostates, they are ungodly. Everything they do is ungodly. 16, he says that they're grumblers and complainers. And now 17, he says, "But you." And if you remember, he's talking to believers here, to Christians. He's saying, "But you, beloved, you, dear saints, you called out once, you children of God, remember." Remember. The word remember is an imperative. Anyone know what an imperative is?
It's kind of highly important.
Okay, yes. An imperative is a command or something that demands attention or action. Okay, so you're pretty close there. All right, so an imperative, again, it's a command or something that demands attention or action. So that's what the remember there is. It's an imperative. So what is he telling us? What is he causing us to remember? So we have a tendency, all of us, to forget things, right? All of us, we forget to do stuff, you know. That's just the way we are. Including things from the Bible, right? You know, we'll be reading the Bible, and we read something one month, the next month, and we forgot it. We don't remember what was in there. And sometimes there's important things that are in here that we just forget. Specifically here, these apostates want to steer Christians in a different direction, right? They want to deceive them and lead them astray, causing them to forget the words that the apostles had been teaching and warning about, okay? And so these apostates, these false teachers, they wanted to deceive the people. They wanted them to forget the teachings of the apostles and listen to them. In other words, forget the Word of God. Forget that it's inspired by God. Forget what the apostles were teaching and listen to me. They wanted them to forget everything that they had learned. So Jude, along with the apostles of our Lord, want us to remember that false teachers are out there and will continue to increase. And so we need to know the truth so that we can distinguish between truth and error. Now, bankers, I don't know if they still do this, I'm assuming they still do. Maybe some of you has a parent that, or someone that works at a bank. How do they distinguish between false cash, you know, $1, $20, bill, whatever, and a real one? No.
They shine it in the light and look into it so and see if there's a dollar or else. But there's a watermark in the film.
Okay, a watermark, okay. Kylie?
They feel it.
Okay, that's another. Mikey?
Most of the time you
like they were saying, like there's a watermark, sometimes like there's a face of the president on the olive.
Okay.
But if you can't get a copy, you won't find what the heck they're looking for.
Okay.
And if you can make a special marker.
Those are all correct. Okay, they're all correct. The point is, they know what the real one is by feel, by sight, by holding it up to the light. Okay, so whenever something doesn't match up with the real one, they know that it's false. Okay, so here, this is how we will know is truth. The Word of God. What is in here is truth. So just like the bankers know what a real dollar is, we must know what is in here. How else can we distinguish between truth and error? Right? Because there's many false teachers out there today. How do you know when you're not watching, you know, Christian TV or whatever's on the radio, or if you visit a church? How do you know? Or how do you know if you're just not at someone's Bible study at their house? How do you know? Unless you know what the truth is. It's got to be right here. And right here. You must know it. You must know it. Okay? So Jude helped by describing already apostasy and the character of apostates. Quickly, just a few of the characteristics of these false teachers. Right? Verse 4. Certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men. Who turn the grace of God into lewdness. Okay, so they're lewd men, right? He used the example of Sodom and Gomorrah and angels and others to describe how these apostates are wicked, sinful men. And that's their character. And that's how we know them, because of how they act and the things that they involve themselves in. Verse 16, they're grumblers and complainers. That's their character. So this is how he's describing them. So now, verse 18. So again, real quick before he moves to 18, he says, you beloved, you Christians, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what was spoken by them, we find in here. And so all of us in here, we need to remember the words that were spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who inspired them to write down these words. And so we need to remember. We cannot forget them. That's Jude's point here. Do not forget these things. Do not forget the words spoken by the apostles. And so all of us in here, we need to remember, imperative, command, take action. Remember the words spoken. So, look at verse 18. It says, how they, who's the they? The apostles. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time, who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. So the apostles spoke and warned about false teachers, so that believers would not be caught off guard. Would not be caught off guard. Just like, if you remember, Jesus with his disciples, he tells them that there's going to be a day that he's going to be killed. He will leave them. And so here, we are being warned. The apostles were warning the church. Jesus was warning the church that false teachers are going to come. They're on their way. Some are here now. In fact, Jude is dealing what Peter was warning about. So over and over and over we have the apostles warning the church about false teachers. So then, you think it's important? If someone's warning us about something, should we take heed and listen? Or should we have an attitude, I'll be good, don't worry about me? That's why he says, remember. Not only just up here, but to don't forget. Live by what they were teaching you. So, first we have Jesus warning us. You don't have to turn there, I'm going to go through a few different verses. But in Matthew 7:15 through 16a, and it says this. This is the word of our Lord. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. Jude says because of their character. He has told us what their character is like. They're complainers, they're grumblers, they're lewd, they're evil men. So Jesus says that you will know these people by their fruits. Now it's interesting. Jude says at the beginning, right, that certain men have what? Crept in unnoticed. Right? They're going to sneak in. Be in the mix. They're going to be among us. They're going to be sneaky, right? Creep in unnoticed. Jesus says, beware. False teachers, false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Now that's a way of slipping in unnoticed, isn't it? They're coming in sheep's clothing. And so we all think that, hey, you know, that's Brother Bob and Sister Sue. They're a good Christian. Or he's a good Bible teacher. We know them. Listen to his words. He knows the Bible. Right? That's how they creep in unnoticed. That's how they come in secret. Because they say what they want to convince you. They say all the right things to come in. Okay? But by their character, by their fruits, after a while, they will be exposed. And so we've got to pay attention to that. So now, we're going to turn to this place, Acts chapter 20. Go ahead and turn there. Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 28. I'm going to read, but thank you, Mom. Listen to the words here. I was talking to you guys. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul here. Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from whom among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So here, the Apostle Paul, just like Jude said, is warning people. He's warning the overseers here. Warning that false teachers are going to come. But look at verse 30. He says, also from among yourselves. Did you hear that? Look at that. Verse 30. Starting in verse 29, he says, savage wolves are going to come, not sparing the flock, not sparing anyone. They want to come and take the sheep. Right? Not sparing anyone. Verse 30, he says, also from among yourselves men will rise up. How will they do that from among us? Because they crept in unnoticed. They played the part. They played the Christian role perfect. Which is why MacArthur calls them pretenders. Because they have pretended to be Christians. They said all the right things. They did all the right things. They acted like they should. They came to church on Sundays. And they did this and that. They helped the elderly. And so they were among us. We thought they were one of us. But what will they do, he says. He says, from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw the disciples after themselves. The disciples there is the believers, not the disciples. They want to draw believers to themselves, to deceive them and lead them astray. Look, amongst us. Hey, eyes up here. And that should cause us to be alarmed. Why? Because who's to say they're not rising up from among us in our local churches? That should cause us to study our Bible so much more so that we know the truth. Because we've all known of great churches, right? They were good churches. And all of a sudden, something happened, and a person in the church, whether it's a pastor or someone, starts teaching something that doesn't sound right. And we're like, wait a minute, what's he teaching us? And so maybe all of us have experienced that on some level. I don't know. But this is what he's warning us about. Jude says, look, they've crept in unnoticed. They're here among us. And they want to pick us off. They want to deceive us. They want to lead us astray. They want to lead us down the road of destruction with them. And Paul's warning that very same thing. Look, men are going to rise up from among us, teaching perverse things, leading the disciples astray. And he says, look at verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. You think the Apostle Paul was serious about that? He did not quit warning people day and night with tears. He was pretty serious about false teachers, wasn't he? When someone is constantly warning about false teachers coming, and they're doing it so with tears, we should take heed and listen. He loved the church so much that he's grieving, he's crying over it, warning them. And that's how a true leader should feel about his flock. That it's causing him to cry, look, my family, they're coming, and they're coming after you. This is why you must know the truth. You can almost picture him saying, tearing up. False teachers is a serious matter. 1 Timothy 4:1 says this, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Why did they leave the faith? Because they did not know the truth. They were not grounded in sound doctrine, and they were led astray. Someone came in with persuasive words, and they sounded convincing. And they said, you know what? That guy seems to know what he's talking about. And he's pretty convincing. He uses words that, you know, sounds like he knows what he's talking about. I'm going to listen to him. And they were led astray because they were not grounded in truth. All of us, listen. We must be grounded in truth. You can't just rely on your parents to know the truth. You must know the truth. You must be clinging to sound doctrine. You must be paying attention at church on Sundays and Wednesdays and Fridays and whenever you go. You're not saved because your parents are Christians. You're responsible. You must know the truth. And if you don't, you're exactly the one that false teachers want to pick off because you'll be easy prey. What does the lion go after? The sheep is not paying attention. He's wandered off a little bit from the rest of the group. They're not paying attention. They're eating this grass over here. You know, the minds are wandering. While the rest of the flock's over here, this little sheep's not paying attention. Boom. Easy prey. Well, that's exactly what false people do. They look for people who do not know the truth, who are not grounded in it, who cannot defend themselves with the word of God. This is exactly why Jude tells the people that we must want, contend for the faith. Earnestly, right? The word depart there in Timothy when it says, now the Spirit explicitly said in latter time, some will depart from the faith. The word depart here in the Greek is the word, I'm probably going to butcher it, but I'll say it the best way. Apostanatai. Pretty close, I guess. So, does that sound familiar a little bit? What's it sound like?
Apostate.
Okay. Is that from which that we have the word derived apostate? And would be properly so rendered here. The meaning is that they would apostatize from the belief of the truths of the gospel. Thus, they were never true believers. How do we know this? How do we know that they were never true believers? Well, what did Jude say in the very beginning? To those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved or kept in Christ Jesus. If they were a true believer, they would have remained. But they apostatized. They turned away. They knew the truth. Right? Just like the examples that Jude gave us of those in the wilderness who God had delivered out of Egypt. And turned away from God. And there are many other examples. Later in 2 Timothy, I'll turn there, I want you guys to turn there too. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Did you hear how Paul was exhorting his young disciple here, Timothy? He says, I charge you, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Why? Because the time is coming. Now people will not endure sound doctrine. They'll put it aside. They'll apostatize. Turn from the truth. And they'll find their own teacher who will tell them what they want to hear. And be led astray. This is what will happen. And if you remember from a few years ago, turn to 1 John chapter 4. In fact, I actually dug up my teachings from 1 John. First John chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, he said, Beloved, which is a term of endearment here, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. So we taught on this very passage March 17, 2006. And so I was just going through a little bit of my notes here. And so here, the Apostle John the Beloved, he's telling the church, he's telling the believers, do not believe every spirit. In other words, every teacher. Do not believe every spirit, but what should we do then? He says, test them. Test the spirits, whether they are of God. How do we do that? How do I test the spirits? How do I test the teachers? When I visit a church, when I turn on the TV, when I listen to a teacher on the radio, when someone gives me a CD, oh, you've got to listen to this sermon. How do I test spirits? Know
it? With the truth of the Word.
With the truth. With the Word of God. Okay, number one, go to the passage that they're teaching on, okay, and make sure they're using it in the proper context, right? Because it's very easy to pick and pull and grab scriptures and use them out of the context. It's very easy to do that. And they do that. They do that. And so we got to find out, well, who is this letter to here? And I need to read the verses before and after to get this in the right context and make sure that he's not using this verse out of context. Because that happens all the time. All the time. And so that's one thing. Right? And so then you got to go a little further. Do some more homework. Study. Find out what the words mean. Get yourself a word dictionary. Zodiacs or whatever, some other good ones. The Strong's Concordance, okay? And look up stuff in the Greek and the Hebrew, whatever it's in, depending on the Old and New Testament. Right? Because the Strong's will just give you a general definition of what it can mean in all different areas. Then you can get different studies that will tell you what it means in this verse. Right? Because the Greek is very specific. Okay? So we've got to be students. This is why I'm telling you over and over, you guys got to be students of the Word of God. Oh, that's too much work, Pastor Man. I got to do my schoolwork. I got to do my chores. Hey, you can just be like that sheep. It'd be easy prey if you want. You can open yourself up if you want. Or we can say, you know what? I'm a child of the living God. And I want to know the truth. I want to know Him more. And so I can't wait to get home and read my Bible and study it and meditate on it and ask God to help me understand it and to learn all I can. So that I'm never deceived by a false teacher. This is what the Christian should say. Literally there when he says, do not believe every spirit, he's saying, don't be gullible. Know the truth. Cling to sound doctrine. Jesus says in Matthew 24:4, take heed that no one deceives you. Be on guard. Let no one deceive you with empty words, Paul says in Ephesians. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, because they let themselves be deceived with empty words. Paul says in Colossians 2:8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the Word, and not according to Christ. Colossians 2:18, let no one cheat you. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no one deceive you. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no one deceive you. The word there, deceive, is the Greek planao, and it means to roam from safety. Let no one gets you to roam from safety. What is safety? The Word of God. Truth. Sound doctrine. Alright? Just a little note here that I used a couple years ago. MacArthur had the idea of a fish who is deceived into thinking that it is about to have dinner, and then it is dinner. Right? Think about that. You're going fishing, and the fish is swimming around, and he sees something, and he's like, oh, sweet, dinner. Oh, wait, now I'm going to become dinner, because I was just deceived by the bait. That's the idea here. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. Don't let someone take you from safety. You're a lot smarter than fish, aren't you? I hope so. Don't become dinner. Know the truth. Test the spirits. Try them, prove them, discern them, distinguish them, approve what they are teaching. It has the notion of proving a thing, whether it is worthy or not, to make trial of, to put to prove, to examine it. That's what we should do. That's what it means to test the spirits, to examine what is being taught. Why does he say this? He says, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Antichrist, false teachers, have gone out into the world. And even now, do you guys think that they just have gone away? Oh, Pastor Brandon, we don't have to worry about false teachers nowadays. That was just, you know, back then. We're pretty safe now, you know. I don't have to worry about all that. As long as I go to church with my parents on Sundays, and, you know, if I make it to youth and adventures, or, you know, wherever some of you visitors go to church, I'm cool, I'm covered. I don't have to worry about those false teachers. Really? Then you're that fish who has just become dead. Back in our text, turn back to Jude. Verse 18. How they, the apostles, told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. A mocker or a scoffer is spoken of imposters. What's an imposter? One who pretends to be someone they're not. Right? Pretender. Which the cover of that book is a masquerade face. They're an imposter. MacArthur says, the more prevalent verb of mocker, the more prevalent verb form contains the idea of playing a trick or deceiving someone. These apostates or pretenders who play tricks with the Word of God and frequently try to pass themselves off as Bible teachers. Remember, they've crept in unnoticed. They're wearing sheep's clothing. Paul said in Acts, brethren, men from among us will rise up. They are mockers. They are here to trick you with the Word of God. That's the deal. They're going to take the Word of God and they're going to use it and play a trick on you. They're going to twist it. They're going to turn it and try and deceive you with it. I see it all the time. All the time. On Christian TV, so-called Christian TV. When they twist the Word of God and completely take it out of context. And they fool the people. The people are just taking it hook, line, and sinker. What are they? They've just become dinner like the fish. One example. I'll give you one example. and this is one of the biggest ones. It's the prosperity message, okay? Prosperity message, which is you come to Christ, you become a Christian, you give to us in our ministry, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be rich. Why do you think people are becoming Christians? Well, they've just been told they're going to be rich. They're going to have prosperity. Heck, I'm going to become a Christian if I'm told that I'm going to be rich. Anyone's going to become a Christian if they're told they're going to be rich. Why wouldn't they become a Christian? Why wouldn't they accept Christ? I've just been told from the preacher that I'll have prosperity. Sign me up. Right? And how did they fool the person? By taking some scriptures and twisting them. And Paul says, I have learned to what? Be content no matter the circumstance. I've learned what it's like to have many, plenty, and I've learned what it's like to have nothing. And so then what happens when this person accepts Christ and they tithe, they give everything they had? A couple years down the road or whatever, and they're still struggling, poor. And then they blame God. And they turn. All because they were deceived by this false teacher. There, that false teacher is going to be accountable for the things that they are doing. God doesn't want you to come to Him because you're going to be rich. Now, sure, some Christians might be rich, but not all Christians. He's sovereign. He's in control. Why do you think we're told that when we see a brother in need who has no food or needs a coat, that give him one of yours? Shouldn't that tell you that not all of us are going to be rich? That's just one example. There's many more. But people, we've got to wake up. And so I end up watching it and getting mad. And so Carol tells me, why are you watching? You're just going to get mad. But at the same time I'm getting mad, I'm also grieved and saddened inside. Because I see the audience, the crowd, and they're just all pumped up and they're taking it, swallowing it. And I feel bad for them. Really bad. They've been deceived. The trick was played on them. Meanwhile, those ministers are filthy rich. Gold-plated chairs. Best of everything. Mercedes-Benzes. Big mansion. They are mockers. They are imposters. Wanting to play a trick on you. You've got to know the truth. You've got to be able to discern right from wrong. Truth from error. The only way you're going to do that, you guys are here, is if you're students of the Word of God. You be diligent and study the Word of God over and over and over. What then are these imposters' concerns? What are they busy doing? Do you think that they care about the people, the flock? Do you think they're busy leading them and serving them and teaching them the things of our Lord Jesus? They may say so at first, but when you listen long enough, the answer is no, none of these. Instead, they're only concerned about serving themselves and their evil desires. The verse says, verse 18, who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. What does the word walk denote? How you live, a lifestyle. They are busy walking, they are busy living according to their own evil, ungodly lusts. Gratifying, satisfying. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. 2 Peter 2:1, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly, there it is again, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Here you have men, again, secretly. They're going to bring in destructive heresies. Are you going to know what they are? Are you guys ready? Or are you going to be gullible? Are you just that fish swimming around? Oh, cool, here's dinner. Wait, what's this thing jammed in my mouth now? Why am I hurting? Why am I dying? Because you've been deceived. Don't be gullible. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and Savior, help us, oh God. Help us to know the truth. Help us to not be lazy in our studies. Yes, it's important that we do our homework and that we do our best to the glory of God. And we work hard at our jobs to the glory of God. And whatever extra activities that we do our best to the glory of God. But what about you? Where do you fit in? Let us make sure that we always have you number one. That we make time to read our Bibles. We make time to pray, to cry out to you, and to meditate upon your word, to study. This is how we know the truth. Then, oh God, let us cling to that truth. Cling to sound doctrine. We thank you, O God, who for faithful men who are teaching your word faithfully. Let them continue in that. Let us test the spirits. Help us to discern, to examine, to make sure it is truth and not error. Let us, O God, not be like the fish swimming around looking for dinner and then becomes dinner. But let us be grounded in truth in the Word of God. And so when we sit under a teaching and someone uses a verse out of context, we know that that's not right. Because we're grounded in the truth. We know it, not only in our minds, but more importantly in our hearts. That's where we need to know it. Pray all these things.